Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. I am here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Friday, July 26, 2013. We're going to talk about Illinois lawmakers. We're going to be talking, we've got a little bit of an update here on Cyprus. We'll be talking about that and perhaps the replacing the old dollar coin or the dollar bill with the dollar coin. That's been around forever and just kind of like the same old. But first, let's get to the market report today. Gold, not a bad day in gold. We had contracts expired, I believe, today, and I think that's why you saw a little bit of pressure early on trading, but it's recovering nicely. New York spot is down $1.60 at $1,333. We had a low today of $1,311, and we're off a couple bucks from its high on the day. $1,333 for gold today, and would have been nice to see it close up above $1,350. But we'll see what we can do next week. Silver, also a nice little recovery, down 21 cents today at $20.14. Platinum, down $19 at $1,436, along with palladium, down $13 at $730. USDX today down 0.16 at $81.63. And crude oil today was down, almost a buck at 104.87. And the paper markets today, you're looking at the Dow barely managed a fifth straight week of gains, up 1.99 at 15,557. Paper markets are struggling, folks. The NASDAQ up 7 at 36.13, S&P up 1. At 1691. However, most of the day they were in negative territory. 10-year yield today, the pressure came off that just fractionally, 0.05 at 2.56. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
You know, there's just things that crack me up.
Well, you're easily amused, Melody.
Am I easily amused?
Yes,
I don't know. Maybe today anyway. But
it's like
they
that
come
old
out.
Gag about taking the nose away, taking the little kid's nose away. It's just, you think a woman your age wouldn't fall for that anymore,
but what can I say?
What
do you mean my age? Watch
well, you're over
fellow.
21. You're over 21. You shouldn't be falling for, got your nose.
And I'm not blonde either. Hmm? But, you know, here it comes again. Let's replace that flimsy dollar bill with a sturdier metal coin. And the thing that really cracks me up, what's our debt, Al? How many trillions of dollars are we in debt?
Depends on who you talk to, but it's anywhere from 17 trillion for sure up to as much as 202 trillion.
Okay.
Including unfunded liabilities, and that's more likely.
Okay, we'll just take the lowest number. So what they're going to do, it costs about 5 cents to produce a $1 bill and 18 cents to produce a $1 coin. So if they do that, there's going to be a savings of $13.8 billion over 30 years. That's $460 million a year.
That's more than $1 million a day, Melody.
Woohoo!
I know.
And we're trillions and trillions and trillions. I would think you could find some better cost-cutting sectors of the market. But
nevertheless, we should call our congressmen and senators and Obama right now and thank them for trying to save the nation $1 million a day. That's really extraordinary. These guys are really on the job.
They're on the ball, aren't they?
Absolutely.
But you know,
fighting for our freedoms.
Yeah. And can you even imagine what that design on that coin would be? And you know what's funny? Most of those European countries, they all eliminated their paper or their lower face values, they all went to coinage. You can never tell what they are. They all look alike. Can you imagine how often people get ripped off because you can't tell the difference between one to the other?
And what's the object?
Very difficult.
Do you think that's an accident or do you think it's intentional?
I don't know what it is, but...
I'd look at it as simply if they're trying to abandon the lower denomination coins and maybe even trying to get rid of the $1 bills... It's simply one of those things that pushes us closer and closer to an all-digital currency.
Yes.
All right, where your money is on a little plastic card in your wallet or maybe your thumbprint or your retina scan or something along those lines. But from my perspective, this just pushes us deeper and deeper, closer and closer to a all-digital currency, which I don't want. Because, again, the all-digital currency is even more fiat than the paper. The fact of the matter is the paper currency costs something. You know, even if it costs 3 cents to make a $1 bill or a $100 bill, if it costs a nickel or whatever it is, it costs something. But the digital currency costs virtually nothing. And that's where we get into all our trouble. It's because we've walked away from that fiat currency, we have no meaningful, reliable way to decide what to invest in, what investments to avoid. What is an investment worth in a world where the government says there's 1.7% inflation and other people say it's actually closer to 10%? What's the real inflation number? How much has the price of a dollar, a paper dollar, a fiat dollar, changed from a year ago? And how much will it change in the next year? If we can't have some sort of reliability, we don't, in our measuring system, we can't have any real accountability. It's too easy to conceal all the scams and the hustles and the cons. And the result is we have a system that is at best amoral, probably immoral, based more on lies than any sort of tangible reality. And from my perspective, you can't continue to sustain an economy that's based primarily on lies. In the end, it's not about numbers, it's about morality. And the accountability is a function. It's not just a question of, you know, adding and subtracting in a ledger, debits and credits. I mean, debits and credits are interesting, but what happens if the accountant is corrupt and is embezzling? And that's what we have right now. We have people who give you the add and subtract the debits and the credits, but the people that are calculating the numbers are corrupt. And the result is we don't get an honest indication of what's happening. And without that, we can't decide what's best, what's in our own best interest. And without that, then what? Then where are we? The whole world just becomes irrational, incomprehensible. And I'll guarantee that a lot of people that are listening to this program understand that. They don't get what's going on. They are inclined to think the reason they don't understand is because they don't have a degree in economics. They don't have enough education. These issues are too complex for the ordinary person to understand. And there may be some truth to that, but it's not the whole truth. Part of the truth is the numbers we're getting can't be understood. They are irrational because they are manipulated. They're corrupt. They're lies. How are we going to hold it together on lies? I just don't see that. I'm unable to imagine how that can be sustained indefinitely. So, you know, it, from my perspective, I harp on it on a regular basis. We walk away from a gold-based or silver-based currency. And to embrace this fiat currency, paper, digits, we have entered a world that can't work out well. There's going to be a day of reckoning that will be extraordinarily painful. And it's because we don't have a reliable system of weights and measures. The whole thing is a hustle. What else do we have, Melody?
Here's a quick update on Cyprus. Cyprus president says he's cautiously optimistic. International creditors will certify that the country is living up to the terms of its multi-billion euro bailout deal. Officials from the European Commission, the European Central Bank, and the IMF are currently wrapping up their first assessment after Cyprus agreed in March on a 23 billion euro financial rescue package. And that's about $30 billion in U.S. dollars. What I thought was interesting is we remember what happened in Cyprus. The deal forced losses on large depositors and the country's two biggest lenders, and they also saw the restrictions on money transfers and withdrawals that were put in place. And, of course, that was all to head off a bank run. But what he was speaking today, the president was speaking today, after he's unveiling a scheme designed to ensure a guaranteed minimum income for low-wage earners and the jobless that won't drain state coffers. Isn't that kind of what got them all into this position to begin with?
I understand.
To some degree?
They're just buying off the rioters.
Yes, exactly.
That's all they're trying to do right now. And you can bet, how long is that going to last?
Yep.
They can put a pleasant name on it. Again, this is for me, this is consistent with the lying and the immorality that we're talking about just a moment ago. You can put a fancy name on it. You can call it welfare. You can call it a subsidy. You can call it a government grant. The truth is they're buying people off who would otherwise riot and burn down buildings. That's what they're doing. And how can you ultimately afford to pay people who make no productive contribution? And I'm not criticizing the people per se that are receiving these payments. I'm not sitting back and saying, oh, you shouldn't give welfare to these people. That's not my point. I'm not saying they're unworthy of welfare. I am saying that the government had an obligation not to serve the best interests of the rich or the European Union and essentially abandon the lower class people in Greece. They have an obligation to somehow keep, there's got to be some work for these people. I don't care if it's sweeping the streets. There's got to be something that's recognized and accepted and respected that they can do to make enough money to survive. And if you're going to create a system where a bunch of people are just going to be cast to the side and say, yeah, screw them. I'm getting mine. You know, if they're not getting theirs, that's their problem. I guarantee that's going to haunt you. And that's where we seem to be.
You know, they talk about a recovery of the economy, and part of it is you have, you know, Obama out there flapping about how manufacturing, you know, the United States is going to be a magnet for manufacturing. Reshoring is the new buzzword. And you have a lot of these corporations that have made it a point to either open up or reopen some factories. They add a few jobs, and you know they all get the headlines. You have the giant corporations. You have Apple, GE, Ford, Chrysler, Caterpillar. They've all started setting up new plants. Some of them have been reinvesting in old plants in the U.S. kind of gives you a warm and fuzzy feeling when you hear all these people talk about all these corporations coming back. But the article that I read is all they're doing, all these companies, all that they're doing is essentially image building. That's all they're doing is their image building. And it could also be that they would like to have some leverage in local politics by setting up these plants. They're not eliminating any new factories going up anywhere. These are tokens.
I think it may be true. I think it may be that they realize that the American people have diminished loyalty to plants, to companies, to corporations, said we're going to build our products overseas. We're going to take advantage of cheap labor. We still want to sell in this country. We just don't want to build here. We want to keep all the profits for ourselves, and we don't want to share the profits with our customers. And that's essentially what happens. If we've got a Caterpillar plant in my hometown, and I want a Caterpillar, well, if Caterpillar is paying local people to build those machines, and I'm buying one, it's good for everybody. The people that run the corporations make a profit. The people that work at the corporations make a profit. I get something at a reasonable price in a community and a local economy that's I don't know, viable, good for me, that's beneficial. But when they take the product they manufacture overseas, they cheat local labor out of an opportunity to buy. And when local labor can't afford, or when local, they cheat local labor out of an opportunity to work. And when local labor can't work to build Caterpillars, then local labor can't buy my product. I'd like to buy Caterpillar, but the guy down the street, he can't afford to pay me because he doesn't have a job at the Caterpillar plant. The whole thing is self-destructive. It's stupid. It's short-sighted. You should be building your product as close. Ideally, you build the product in the same community where the consumers are. And then everyone has an incentive to do a good job. As we separate the consumer from the producer, from the worker, as the distance increases, it's very profitable for the people that run the multinational corporations, but it's devastating for the people that are consuming rather than producing. So.
And you can't forget, I mean, it's still a lot, and you're right about what they get paid. Here it goes on to say that China's per capita annual income of $5,400. That's we can't compete with that. But even if these jobs would move
but
away,
you're going to be forced to. As long as Caterpillar can make machines in China with labor that costs them $5,400 a year instead of labor that costs them $50,000 a year in this country, I guarantee they're going to continue to do it. And the people in this country who were making, who knows, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year, including benefits and so on, those people are going to see their wages and their standard of living go down and go down and go down until we become more or less competitive with China.
And not only that, I mean, even if jobs did move away from China, you still have India, you have Bangladesh, you have Africa, you have all these other places where wages are cheaper than for them to return to the States. And, you know,
it tells us what? It tells us that global free trade is a giant ripoff.
Yep.
It's an intentional betrayal of, in most instances, the people of most countries, the workers of most countries. It's an advantage for China, for example. It's countries that are most impoverished. It will elevate their standard of living, but it will only do so by diminishing the standard of living in other countries. So we're going to pay for it. We're going to pay big time to have global free trade. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. I'm going to take a commercial break. Be back shortly. Stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adesk, and this is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. I'm here with my co-host, Melody Cederstrom. And, Melody, do we have a special for people on Friday, or are we going to wait until Monday?
Absolutely. Everything they buy here at Discount Gold and Silver is a special when compared to all my competitors. But we're going to stay along with the same lines with every gold order that you make. At all gold purchases today, you will receive a 1 ounce 2013 Silver Eagle. So all gold orders, you will receive a 1 ounce Silver Eagle. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website, DGScoins.com, DGScoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter. And, of course, you can listen to the archives of the program. And I had a meeting today with, I guess you still call them, webmasters. And we're looking forward to possibly, we're looking at a two-week time frame, maybe three, to where we can have actual online purchases. So we're looking forward to that. We're going to still maintain a higher quality online purchasing compared to some of those that are on there that, lists everything and anything that you could ever possibly want in silver or gold. But we're going to be a little more selective, but we're going to offer great prices online. So we're looking forward to that. So excited about that. We're going to test it and see how it works. And if it works fine, well, maybe we'll add a few more items to the list. But the quality, I've heard Al a lot of these online, and I'm not saying all, I don't want to get myself in trouble, but they always have the disclaimer. They have all these pretty pictures up there, and then the disclaimer is, well, the quality of the product might not be as pristine as that picture, so people really don't know what quality they're even purchasing. And I read a lot of complaints at some of these places where they end up getting scratch coins and dented coins and things like that. Not all. I'm just saying not all, but, you know, just be careful. And we're going to avoid that. So all of our quality products will be listed, and grading of the coin will be listed. And if anybody has any questions, they'll be able to call. So we're looking forward to that, Al.
Well, rightfully so, Melody. I'm looking forward to it, too.
Good.
So what else have we got?
Illinois lawmakers.
Ah, it's a beauty.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Associated Press, the Illinois Comptroller Judy Barr Topinka said yesterday that she has no choice but to withhold lawmakers' paychecks, citing a precedent-setting court case that bars her from paying state employees without a budget appropriation or court order. Governor Pat Quinlan, Illinois Governor Pat Quinn, cut $13.8 million for legislators' paychecks from a budget bill earlier this month, saying it wouldn't be restored until the lawmakers addressed the state's $97 billion pension shortfall. He also suspended his own pay. Now, there's some questions as to whether this is constitutional or not, but basically it appears that he has the ability to do that because the Constitution of Illinois says they can't change the lawmaker's salary during the term during which they're elected. But Governor Quinn says he's not changing their salary. He's just withholding the money to pay it. I just love it. I just love it. Law is all about definitions, and apparently, Mr. Quinn, Governor Quinn, he understands that. I'm not. You know, it's like the old joke. I'm not going to rob you. You know, I would rather. Well, no, I can't even remember the old joke. I'd rather owe it to you than cheat you out of it. That was the old joke. And he's saying, I'd rather owe it to you than cheat you out of it. He's going to owe it to him. He's done it with line item veto power. Lawmakers who receive an annual salary of more than $67,000 would have to vote for Quinn's changes if they want to get paid, and he means changes in the pension program. And you know what that means, Melody? It means the legislators will have to live on nothing more than bribes right now until Quinn relents on this thing. And they won't have their salary; they're going to have to just make it on bribes. But Representative Mike Zalewski, a Riverside Democrat, acknowledged that the governor's action is resonating with average citizens who just want us, who just want to see us get something done. Okay? Now, Illinois' pension liability is the worst in the nation because lawmakers either skipped or shorted payments to the state's five retirement systems for decades. Right? Inaction on solving the pension problem led to repeated credit rating downgrades, while governors from other states have used it as a basis to poach jobs from Illinois. Now, this whole situation fascinates me because the lawmakers aren't getting paid. Now they're going to take it seriously. All right, now they're going to get to work on this one way or another. But it's interesting because if it's true that Illinois has the worst pension system in the nation, and two, the people of Illinois want their legislators to do something. And three, legislators won't be paid until they do something. Then four, we will soon see if there's anything that the legislators can do to remedy the situation, or if the pension plans are simply irredeemable and worthless. If Illinois legislators are forced to admit that there's nothing they can do to correct the $97 billion shortfall, the entire Illinois governmental pension plan may collapse. Those who've invested their wealth in the Illinois pension plans will lose their assets. We can wonder what impact that collapse and resulting financial losses may have on the national economy. More, this is where it becomes interesting to me. We can wonder what effect an admitted collapse of the Illinois pension system might have on pension systems across the country. How many other pensioners or investors in pension systems around the country will see evidence that what can't be paid won't be paid, see it in Illinois, panic and try to get away from whatever pension plans they're currently associated with, and grab however much money they can lay a hand, they can grab onto. I'm going to bet that Governor Pat Quinn, the political stakes and the economic stakes are so great. I'm going to bet that despite his vow to hold his to hold the line on this, Governor Pat Quinn will back down from that vow to withhold legislator pay until the legislators do something. I don't think there's anything they can do. I'm going to bet that if Governor Quinn doesn't back down, either a state judge will order him to back down, or the federal government will somehow shore up the Illinois pension plans. But I'm also going to bet that no matter what happens, it will soon be common knowledge that the Illinois pension system is as bankrupt as the city of Detroit. Once that happens, people in other states will begin to realize how fragile their pension systems may be. Now, assuming that happens, I'm not going to bet on it, but it's possible that the Illinois pension debacle might precipitate a pension panic that spreads to other parts of the United States. I'm not betting on that. I'm not predicting that, but I'm saying it's possible. But even if the Illinois pension debacle is not contagious, it's only a question of time before another pension debacle in another state precipitates a pension panic. The wheels are beginning to come off the pension system. The problem will start at cities like Detroit, work up to states like Illinois, and finally reach the federal level where even the federal government's going to have to admit they can't pay the government pensions. They may not even be able to pay Social Security. These results are inevitable, and the reason is because, as I've harped for 4 or 5 years now, what can't be paid won't be paid. If they don't have the money, they can't pay it. And sooner or later, Americans will recognize the significance of that observation. Once you get the idea that the debt is too great to be repaid, it is an uh-oh moment. It's a time where you sit back and say, holy cow, they can't pay the debt. And if they can't, there are extraordinary circumstances. What we're seeing in Illinois is one of the first manifestations of that principle. What do you think, Melody?
Well, it reminds me of an old song. I don't know. I think it was in the 70s that it came out. And it was, I think, by a Canadian group. And it was Signs. Signs, signs, signs.
Yeah.
And this is just another one of those signs, folks, that now that it's written everywhere.
Yeah. And if you care to look.
If you care to look.
Yes. If you're not so busy talking on your cell phone that you actually pay attention while you're driving down the road, you can see the signs. They're there.
Now, that would be a good song for bumper music. Signs, signs, everywhere a sign.
Yeah, but we can't do it because we have 5 minutes before the next scheduled bumper music, so we can't do that right now.
Oh, I know. But it is, and this is a great sign. It's a great to see how the wheels are turning and how it is going to fall apart.
Yep.
And, folks, you need to be active. This is what it's all about. And it's very difficult, Al. Stock market, the Dow 15.5, S&P hitting highs. NASDAQ is coming up. It certainly hasn't hit its high yet from 5,000 back in the late 1900s, 2000. That's what they're doing. They're sitting there and waiting. They're enjoying the performance of the paper markets. So they don't want to do anything yet. You have to wait until something breaks. Then they'll all come running into gold and silver. And that's
they may
probably
not even
a little
wait
too late
that long to go into gold and silver. I mean, if they have a real problem, if there's a real problem, yes, I would agree. But it may not require a real problem because there have been a number of reports. There's one here from Jim Willey at the Hattrick Letter, and Jim Sinclair said the same thing. A couple other commentators have pointed out that the big banks have switched from massive net short positions to moderate net long in gold future contracts. Now, they were in big trouble because if gold continued to rise as it had been going for 2 years ago, I think it was, September of 2011, 1900, thereabouts, $1,900 an ounce. If gold had continued to rise, the big banks that had taken short positions would have lost billions, trillions, maybe even bankrupt. They had to get out of those short positions. And the last 2 years, they have knocked the price of gold down and down and down and down. And it's enabled them to escape those former short positions. And in doing so, what they did was create an illusion that gold would defy reality and it would not only fall to $1,200 an ounce or $1,100 an ounce, but maybe less than $1,000 an ounce. And a bunch of speculators bought the illusion. And when they became convinced that gold was going to fall further and further and further and inevitably downward and downward, they went in and bought the short positions from the big banks. These speculators, these are the people who cheered when gold went down. These are the people who booed anybody who thought gold was a good investment. They're the ones who bought the short positions from the big banks. They're the ones who let the short, who let the big banks get off the hook. And when the big banks got off the hook, they started now taking long positions, meaning they are betting that the price of gold is going up. And with those bets, the big banks now have an incentive. They no longer have an incentive to defy reality and push the price of gold down. They now have a personal and financial incentive to drive the price of gold up. And that incentive, they may wait to see some sort of a serious problem to justify moving the price of gold upward dramatically, but they may not. It may be that they're off the hook now. And the people were cheering to say, ha, 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 you have gold, you are losing money. Watch what happens to those speculators now. They're going to be devastated. And the people who have gold are going to be elated.
You know what, Al? All these guys out there, they think they can beat the bank. They think they can, you know, they think they can beat the house. And it's... it is investing that you have these banks that have, you know, billions of dollars coming directly from the Federal Reserve in their own. They are out there to make money. They're going to hit markets. They're going to go down. And you're right. They write it down. They write it back. You can't play their game. You can't beat them. Some might win, just like some might win in Las Vegas or Atlantic City. But if you have money to lose, there you go. But if you don't want to lose your money, like I don't want to lose my money, I don't go to the gambling casinos. I store it in a wealth of value, and I hold it. And it's difficult for people to do that when they think these other guys are making so much money because they're out there claiming that they're making so much money. Are they really? Does anybody really show proof that they are?
Well, maybe they are, but
some do.
They're making most paper don't. Money. I agree with that. I agree that they may be making paper money. They may be acquiring a stack of paper wealth, and that may serve them well in the immediate future. But the day's coming. I mean, it's like storing all your wealth in the form of ripe strawberries. I got a silo full of ripe strawberries. Well, that's pretty cool for a day or two, but I guarantee you those strawberries aren't gonna keep. By the end of the week, you're going to have a silo full of mushy strawberries and maggots. Right? You got to store your wealth in something that's going to stand the test of time. Some things will work for a little while. Some things work for longer. Gold works longest. Dollars, if you're storing your wealth in paper, going to lose your assets. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Take another break. Be back shortly. Please stay tuned.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We were just contemplating whether we were or were not on the air. It seemed like a long break. We don't know whether Frank is actually, you know, we think we are off on our own here talking during the commercials. And sometimes we wonder, you know. Are we actually on the program, Melody, or are we just on the commercials? Where are we, anyway?
There was another song, Wonder, Wonder. Oh, I'm just full of songs today, aren't I? Here we go.
It's Friday. You just got that song in your heart thing going on because it's Friday. What else do we have, Melody?
Got a question in. San Diego Mayor Bob Filner will take 2 weeks off for therapy. He said at noon today on August 5th, he will be entering a counseling clinic to undergo 2 weeks of intensive therapy. And the question is, does it look like the tribesmen get involved with Goyim first in New York and now in San Diego?
I'm not absolutely certain what they're talking about by the tribesmen. And by Goyim, I assume it may be they're talking about Jewish people for tribesmen and Goyim, the rest of the great unwashed. But I don't clearly understand the question.
Maybe you can clarify that a little bit. And Jim from West Virginia said the West Virginia's retirement system for employees is invested in funds. According to the 2009 CAFR, these funds have a bunch of mortgage-backed securities.
Mm-hmm. This whole thing is a spectacular web. It's like a room. It's like a room full of mouse traps, and every one of them is cocked, and there's a ping pong ball on each one of the mouse traps. And it's all pretty. It's looking pretty calm right now, but if somebody bounces one ping pong ball into that room full of mouse traps, all of a sudden they're going to start snapping and bang, 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 bang. This is the way the economy is right now. It is so interrelated and so interdependent and so fictionalized and ultimately fraudulent that when this tangled web begins to become untangled, there's going to be a serious problem. And there won't be many places where you can just say, well, I've got my money in the First National Bank of Dallas, Texas, and I know it'll be safe there. Or I've got my money in stock that's invested over in this, in who knows, in a pension fund or wherever. One of the most attractive strategies under these circumstances is to simply store your wealth in a way that is not related to other entities, other investments. Huh? And it's, we can't even tell. Jim is talking about the West Virginia pension funds being involved in mortgage-backed securities. God only knows what's everything that's involved with the different pension plans and the different banks and the different investment vehicles that you can look at. They look on the surface, they look like they're solid and they look like, oh, this is good. But in fact, it may be tied up with so many other corrupt investment vehicles that if any one of those corrupt investment vehicles fail, yours is also going to fail. And the implication here is that in times when we see great potential trouble and great interdependence, you don't want to be dependent. You don't want to store your wealth that's in a way that might be dependent on mortgage-backed securities. At least I don't think you do. Maybe you do. Maybe you have a reason to do that. But in most instances, you won't even know. You don't even know how your wealth is being stored. Really, all you have is an idea of the wrapper on the box where they store your wealth, and it might be red and it might be blue and there might be a bow and there might not. But you have an idea of the packaging. You don't know what's going on inside. And you don't know how it's tied to all of the other packages that are in the room or in the country. And my point is, it suggests that in an era of massive interdependence and what may be massive fraud and or corruption, the solution is get out of this web. And how do you do that? You get an investment that you can hold in your hand that has intrinsic value. Its value is not dependent on other stocks, other commodities, other bonds. Now, I know that there's some that there are some dependencies probably with every kind of investment that you can think of, and that includes gold. Right? It isn't completely isolated from the world, but it's pretty close. And that it's just a suggestion. It's an implication. If you don't want to have your wealth tangled up in other investment vehicles that you don't even understand or recognize and you're concerned about whether they're safe or reliable, get gold. It sits there. It's gold. It doesn't depend really on anything else. It can be influenced by a few other things, but it doesn't really depend. So it's just you know.
There's no liabilities attached to it.
Yeah, that's the point. And no connections. It exists. It has value all on its own. It does not really depend on other investments like mortgage-backed securities. Gold is dependent on the numbers that they come up with in the markets. And those numbers are manipulated. And there is an element of dependence there for gold. I wouldn't even say it's dependence, but it's influence. Price of gold can be artificially influenced. We understand that.
Everything.
But only temporarily. Long-term, truth will out. Truth will out for the mortgage-backed securities. They're going to be shown to be worthless. And truth will out for gold, which will eventually be shown to be extraordinarily valuable. In fact, here's an article. Again, Jim Willey, we mentioned him earlier. And he's talking about Jim Sinclair. Forecasted boldly that the New York Commodities Exchange is likely to run out of real metal for delivery in August. We talked a little about this yesterday or the day before, and convert to cash settlement soon afterwards. Sinclair expects to see the gold price bottom set in early July, with eventual gold price high near $50,000 per ounce. Provided that the paper manipulators currently engaged in deep price suppression lose full control. Well, there's a proviso. Are we going to see $50,000 gold? Not this year. All right, I'm willing to bet. I'm willing to bet with anybody out there, we won't see $50,000 gold this year. You know what? We probably won't see it. I don't expect to see it in my lifetime. But Sinclair is a serious man, wealthy individual. He knows the business. His predictions are not inconceivable. They're not irrational. $50,000 gold might not happen, but it's possible. $20,000 gold, we could see that in my lifetime. That's probable to my mind. And it could go much higher. And God only knows how fast it could happen. Why? One of the reasons, and we're just kind of stumbling on this idea. It's never occurred to me before until we talked about it, until we started talking. Because gold is not interrelated to this massive web of fraud. On fraud, on fraud, fraud on fraud, on fraud. When it goes down, it's going to be a house of cards. Boom. And the only thing that's going to be left standing are stacks of gold coins. And if you've got them, you're going to be a happy camper. And if you don't have them, blah, blah, blah.
I got a clarification on that one question. And it was actually a follow-up comment to his original question, which I just got it. So his first question was, is not Wiener creating a circus maximus about his run for the mayor of New York City? Is this type of behavior a laughing stock of the world? Now they have one of the girls responding to the pictures of his junk. So far, Bloomberg has not responded on his behavior. Is this because they are of the same tribe? Furthermore, now his wife is in trouble since she worked for Mrs. Clinton as well as a private company. That was the first question.
All right. Well, all right. And just on that, all we're seeing is that we're seeing evidence that the people who aspire to and achieve positions of power in this country are either personally immoral or they at least don't mind associating with people that are immoral. Right? We elect them. We laugh. We joke. It's like voting for Al Capone. It's a game. We know the guy's a crook, but so what? Let's vote for Al Capone. If we're going to do that, we as a people are going to pay a price. If we're going to allow the immoral, the amoral, if we're going to allow, you know, people to just make a joke out of it, we're going to allow them in public office, we're going to pay a price. They're going to take advantage, and we are going to pay a price. It is self-destructive. It's self-destructive for us to vote for buffoons like that. And if we want to do it, we're going to come to a bad end. We're not going to get out of it. We're not going to just say this is a joke. There is no benefit to this. You've got to get people that are serious about trying to do the right thing. They have to have a moral foundation to hold public office. And if they don't, if they're just hustlers and con artists, then you will be hustled and conned. And when it happens, you will have no grounds to sit back and say, oh, this is so unfair. I never thought that if I voted for Al Capone, I would be one of the people who got mugged. I thought he'd just mug other people, but he wouldn't mug me. No, he's going to mug you too. So will they.
You know, it's even shocking. I would think that the outrage goes all the way back to Marion Barry. I mean, here's a guy in office, you know, drugged out prostitutes, and then he gets reelected. I mean, it's just, it's just amazing.
It isn't amazing under the circumstances. I don't know. It really isn't amazing. It should be amazing. I wish I was amazed. I'm not amazed.
Incredible.
I'm not amazed.
It's shocking.
Well, I agree. I agree. But the people who do it have to pay the price. Why did they vote for Marion Barry? Because he was black. That was the fundamental reason. Black voters voted for black Marion Barry. That's no surprise. There were other alternatives, but he had a natural affinity. We have to presume that the voters in Washington, D.C. have a natural affinity to people who do drugs, prostitutes, and are corrupt. He's representing the values of the majority of the people in Washington, D.C. And so they elect him. And what does that mean? It means you're going to live in something like a sewer, a septic tank. It's discouraging, it's depressing, but people are stupid in many instances, and they just laugh about doing stupid things. They think it's a joke. They celebrate their ignorance. And we don't just see it in politics. We see it some kids in school. They don't want to learn. They think it's stupid. They think it's dumb. They think it's uncool. What do you think is going to happen to those poor little individuals? They're going to spend their lives in poverty, on welfare, in crime, in prison. There's something going on in this country that is so institutionally stupid. We celebrate the stupid. The meaningless. You know, oh my God, what has Britney Spears done lately? Did you see what Britney Spears did? Who cares? Who can afford to care? And the truth is, none of us. We'll talk more about this and subjects like this when we return on Monday, but we are out of Schlitz for today. And so thank God it's Friday. We're on our way. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Come back next Monday. And in the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. Money.